Smash your FM radio. Indy 100 rocks.
Hey, what's everybody? It's Tyrone Tan here from StarRoseEntertainment.tv and Indy100.com Radio and UBN. And I just want to say thank you to all the listeners from around the world that have been tuning into my show. And because of you guys, I get to do what I do. And I'm always grateful and appreciative on all your guys' listenership. We're going to have a great show for you guys today if you're into really great books and just great people. We're going to have a dear friend of mine, president of Galaxy Press, Mr. John Goodwin, into the studio here. But before that, we do want to do a couple plugs. Again, if you want to see a lot more celebrity interviews or back archive shows, go to our main production website, which is at www.starroseentertainment.tv. That's www.starroseentertainment.tv. Also, if you want to hit me up on social media, that's @TyroneTan over on Twitter, TyroneTan. And then also on Instagram, that's TyroneTanOfficial over on Instagram. Again, TyroneTan and then official. And then last but not least, if you really, really want to get a hold of me or just check me out on Facebook, you can look me up there, Tyrone Tan, over on Facebook. And if you want to see our in-studio guest, such as the dashing John Goodwin, president of Galaxy Press, go to our Facebook page, Star Rose Entertainment, over on Facebook. So we're gonna be kind of cutting short in the beginning because normally we have a guest co-host, but we're kind of rotating it. So we have some of my guest co-hosts on a break for now. So we normally do some quick, cool movie reviews. So I thought maybe to kind of spice things up, we're gonna bring in the guests a little early. And then maybe we'll talk about some movie reviews with the guests. So without further ado, I thought, the gentleman I'm going to be bringing in is a very classy gentleman. Again, he is, he's the president of Galaxy Press. We've got to know each other through the years. And, so I figured normally the guest co-host, finds ways of bringing the guest of the hour into the studio, such as sometimes limos, Millennium Falcons, hang gliders, etc. But what I think I'm going to do, I'm going to bring him in on a very classy way. And I'm going to decide on doing it, bringing him in on a carriage. Very classy gentleman. So I think, what I'll do is just, bring him in and then we're going to get straight down to, with our guest. And again, we want to thank all the guest co-hosts that have come into the studio through the seasons and through the new season. But, here we're just going to bring him in. And then I just thought, bring him in on the guest because he's a very classy guy. And I figured bring him in on a classy way. So I guess on count of three, I'm just going to have to open this door. And here he comes. Into the studio. Here he comes on the carriage, waving to all the fans. Oh, they're throwing roses and all this stuff. Here he is. He is the president of Galaxy Press. And dear friend, Mr. John Goodwin. Coming down on the carriage. Welcome, John Goodwin, to StarRoseEntertainment.tv, Indy100.com Radio, and UBN. John Goodwin, welcome, man.
Thank you very much, Tyrone. It's great to be here.
Well, we figured out to bring you in on a classy way.
I appreciate it. I've never had such an eloquent welcome before.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Well, you're an eloquent gentleman, so I figured we got to bring you in some eloquent way. Don't worry, we kept the receipt. So
I appreciate that.
Yeah, anyways. So again, John Goodwin, president of Galaxy Press, welcome.
Thank you very
Star
much.
Starz Entertainment, Indie 100.com Radio, and UB. And first time here, right?
It is. It is. We've been talking about this for about a year or two.
Yeah. I mean, I've interviewed you through the years on the carpets and stuff like that.
Right.
Events, but, you know, we've been talking about trying to get you in on the studio. And now finally, finally came. So welcome. So now normally, John, we normally have a guest co-host and we talk about some movie reviews. So I figured we'd just start this early because I am assuming you're a movie guy as well.
Well,
like you like movies?
I like movies, but I'm a book publisher, so you can throw me a movie, I'll probably talk about the book.
Okay, well, how's this? I'll talk about a movie review. By any chance, have you seen the movie Shazam, the new movie?
I haven't. I've seen the trailer.
The trailer. Okay. Have you used to watch the old television series?
I did.
Okay. Yeah. What did you think about that show?
It was fun. When I used to watch TV. Like I said, I've been a book publisher for many, many years, so I can talk about books. I can talk very good about Wild Wild West, The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
when you
go back to TV. But I like when I watch television or watch movies, I like to be entertained. And for me, it's escape of what's happening right now. I like to know that I'm going to be entertained and the ending's going to be good. I don't know how they're going to get there. The hero might get beaten up a few times, which obviously Shazam, he's got a few encounters, but that's what I like in movies.
Did you by any chance grow up with the show Shazam or not really, the television series?
It was a little bit later after
my... Okay. Well, cool. Well, I mean, I grew up with the television series as well, you know, in general. But I grew up and there was a lot of like great reruns from Batman. I love those shows, Batman, Brady Bunch, and stuff like that. You know, those that was like the shows I loved watching. Different Strokes, Silver Spoons.
For you, it was reruns. For me, it was runs.
No, but. But Shazam was one of my actually cool Saturday morning type shows. But also, you know, I through the years, I got to become friends with actually Michael Gray, who was the original Billy Batson.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really cool. Then when, you know, the movie came out, I thought it was going to be similar. But before I spoil any of that, let me just go a quick little movie review. So again, I'm going to do a quick one, thanks to IMDb here. Here's a little quick synopsis. Again, Shazam, rated PG-13. Here's a little quick synopsis that they have up here. We all have a superhero inside us. It just takes a bit of magic to bring it out. In Billy Batson's case, by shouting one word, Shazam, this streetwise 14-year-old foster kid can turn into the grown-up superhero Shazam. Directed by David F. Sandberg. Screenplay is by Henry Gayden. And let's see here. Story by Henry Gayden, Darren Lemke. And created, Shazam, created by Bill Parker, C.C. Beck. And starring Zachary Levi, Mark Strong, Asher Angel, Jack Dylan Grazer, Adam Brody, Juwan Hansu, Faith Herman, Megan Good, Grace Fulton. Wow, you know, a great. Want to give a shout out to Javon Armand, who we just interviewed not too long ago. Grace Fulton, Michelle Borth, Ian Chen, and if I'm missing somebody, I do apologize. But it's a great plethora of Cooper Andrews, Martin Millens. I won't read off everybody, but we don't have time. But I do, you know, here's my quick little review. I got to see it, and I actually really enjoyed it. Now, if you grew up with the television series, or whether you grew up with it or you have watched the series before, and your expectations is to, you know, compare it, I would just say just don't. There are two, in my opinion, there's two different types of, beast of a product in a good way. The television series is great. It was a little bit more on the dramatic side, light drama. Whereas the movie, again, don't want to spoil too much, but is more, you know, more on the comedic, you know, very action-y side. It's fun. It's a family type film. So again, if you don't go with that expectation of trying to compare it to the television series, then I think you'll have a fun time. It took a little bit just to adjust to it because I was so used to, kind of the dramedy of the television series. But I mean, as soon as you kind of got the tone, and I'm sure you could get the tone from the trailers, and just find out if you just wanted to have a good, clean, so to speak, fun at the movies, with your family, I'd say check it out. Excuse me, guys. I do apologize. I mean, I'm coming over something. So But yeah, so I would say it's a fun film. It's a lot of action, and I just think you'll have a lot of fun. So I would say check it out if you can, out there in the movies, in the theaters. And I'm probably going to cough. Wait, I'm so sorry. Sorry. I apologize, guys. But it's Shazam, again, directed by David S. Sandberg, and again, starring the awesome Zachary Levi, Mark Strong, Asher Angel, and again, a great cast. And it's, again, I think it's just a pure fun and adventure. So check it out. Again, Shazam, rated PG-13. And you're going to see you go out to see the movies much, John? Or how often do you get to go see the movies? Or do you go to movies in general?
I go to movies probably when I go out to movies maybe 5 times, 6 times a year. Not nearly what you do.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah, it's not that much. I catch a lot of the movies when I fly because I fly to a lot of different conventions and stuff. So that's where I catch a lot of the movies I'm not otherwise able to see.
Okay. Well, yeah, we'll get into a lot of your passions. So obviously we have our guests here. Well, how's this? What are your favorite movies that you love? Like, is there a top three all time?
Well, I like, Lord of the Rings is, okay. I think, just an awesome movie. It's the actual trilogy there. And I like, the movies where, I say, you start off, you've got, a lot of them I know the stories already because I've read the books. Yeah. And that's, that's my line of country is the books. So when I start off with the movie, I like to see how they've taken it and transitioned it from the page onto the screen, and how much are they keeping true to the story, and how much are they actually building that intrigue, regardless of knowing how the story's going to end up, that to be able to that arc being achieved.
Okay. Well, so Lord of the Rings is probably one of your all-time. Okay, great. Well, what we're going to do, we want the audience to kind of get to know you. Hopefully, if not fans already, become fans even more. So we always want to start off with the question, where are you born and raised?
Well, I was born in Wichita, Kansas, and raised there for about the first 6-7 years. And then I moved to Tucson, Arizona, which is where I grew up. Wow. And that's, I lived outdoors for most of the time and hiked, climbed, and that was...
Wow. Now, did you know growing up that you were going to be involved with anything to do with books? Because, you're the president of Galaxy Press. We'll talk about, what that is for people that don't know. But did you know, because obviously you mentioned already you have a lot of passion for the books. But did you know growing up that you were going to be a president of a publishing company?
I didn't. When I was in school, I was very much involved in a lot of... social activities. I was the student body president of my high school, and I was in the choir, and I was very much involved with my church, and had a lot of great friends. And so I did those types of things. I came out to Claremont College for after graduating, so that's how I made it into Southern California from Arizona. And that was my first experience. When I finished school, I went back to Arizona and was there for about 10 years or so working. And then when I came out to Los Angeles, I pretty much continued direction I'd had most of through high school and college. Every summer I took a different job.
Wow.
And my objective was to be able to build my own house if I wanted to. So I did an outside job and then an inside job. But so I learned all the different trades.
Yeah.
And I bought a car, had it towed off, and then I totally rebuilt it. That's how I learned about cars.
Wow.
I just rebuilt the engine and the transmission so that, okay, at that point then I was no longer intimidated by cars doing anything. And so that's kind of like how I've gone through, learning. And then when I started in publishing, I was originally, I pretty much there wasn't anything I've not done. And I ended up, I was in sales, I was in marketing, I did PR. And then I was working at a place called Bridge Publications. And then I was asked to start Galaxy Press. And that was in 2002. But I've been in publishing since 1986.
Wow. So, but you, as you mentioned before, you were always into reading books.
Yeah.
So, see, that's the thing, the difference between me and you. Like, I didn't grow up, I don't know if it's a good or bad thing, but I was the television kid. I was sitting there and was fascinated by the television shows. And so my mind is more like I could, I can know facts and stuff about, like, TV or movies. So, you know, maybe the closest thing would probably be comics, but of course, you know, but for you, what do you remember? What was it so fascinating for you? And I'm sure there's millions of people right. in your same shoes. That just love books, because it's hard for me to kind of sit down and read a book unless it's something I really want to explore or to read, or maybe it's on something, but to actually, because I'm not the type to be able to sit there,
yeah.
to be honest with you, and if I, you know, I mean, I could sit and watch a movie, and but like if I'm going to go on a plane, let's just say, that I would, I'd probably bring a little DVD and watch a movie, where that could take up one time, and but for you, what was it? What was it that fascinated you about
books?
The book world, so to speak? Was it that what was that one book that made you go, "Oh my gosh, I want to"?
Well, when I was, the first books I remember actually buying myself. I used to save my allowance and buy books, and it was back in the earlier days, like gas stations used to have these promotions, you know, and you'd be able to, if you buy so much gas, you can get discounts on books. So my dad would buy the gas, and then I'd buy the, I remember some of the first books I bought were like Call of the Wild by Jack London. Yep. And
I have read that. but again, it was because of school.
Yeah.
It made us, anyways,
yeah, for me, it was this, you know, it was, yeah. I was very fascinated with it, but Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn. And they were adventure, they're like your boy adventure books. And what I liked about it is my imagination was totally stimulated by reading the books. And that's what I liked for me. And because I lived in Arizona, I was, when I wasn't reading, I was outside, like I said, hiking and climbing. I was very athletic and, yeah. and doing that type of stuff. So I was able to transfer that enthusiasm into there. But it was, I just found I could be taken anywhere in the world. Yeah. And then when I started reading science fiction, like the Lensman series, you then into various outer space activities. And that's what I like. So for me, it just really stimulated my imagination. I enjoy movies a lot, but my imagination is, that yeah. work's already been done for me. So what I like about the books is I can fill in the pictures.
Yeah.
I know what that beautiful woman looks like.
Wow. No, and like you said, and not that, you know, I mean, because I have a lot of friends they're you know, that are really into reading books,
sure,
and I totally appreciate that, and I totally respect that. I'm just not that one.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong. I don't think it's either one, but it's like music. It's like there's certain people that just, they don't like watching this, but they love music, and they can have libraries of music, and that could stimulate them all the time. And it's interesting. But it's interesting how the mind works. Sometimes you think about it, and you go like, you know, it's interesting. Yeah. Why am I not this way, or vice versa?
It's totally true. There, in fact, it really gets driven home to me every year when we have our, which we'll talk about later, is the Writers of the Future, which the book we'll talk about.
Yeah.
Because it's a competition where we have 12 winning writers and 12 winning artists, and we have interests from around the world. And what really gets driven home to me is this point that what you're talking about, different mindsets,
yeah.
is that the writers think in words, and they're, you know, when they're attending a workshop, they're taking notes, and the illustrators, they think in images. Yeah. And you see they're at the workshop, and they're sketching on there. It's like, what is this? And they just say, I can't think without images. And so their whole thing is they think in pictures, whereas yeah. a writer thinks in words. So it's a musician thinks in sound, yeah. you know? And so I can totally track with that, and it makes sense to me. I'm like a book yeah. guy, and I yeah. like audiobooks. Is transitioning to audiobooks too, because I can multitask as I'm listening to a book, you know?
Wow.
So that makes a big difference too, that you can do now, which is something that's a bit of a change from when I was a kid. But I think that's a very valid point. Like, different minds work, have yeah. different things that they focus with.
So you got into publishing, again, yeah. kind of by default, so
yeah,
to speak.
Yeah, it was kind of like I was doing one thing. I said, okay, you want to work on this? Sure, I'll try it. I mean, it was just something to try.
And now, so for those, again, we got a lot of young listeners as well. Maybe they don't know what is the difference between a publisher, an author, or anything, like, because you hear the words. It's mm-hmm. like sometimes, you know, I'll get asked, what is the difference between a producer and a director and a cinematographer? And, you know, and there are three different distincts, but they hear those terms, and if they're not into that quote unquote field, they kind of mix in the thing. They're like, oh, he must be a producer. And you're like, well, actually, no, that guy's actually just a director. There are directors that produce and direct, and then that guy's a cinematographer, etc. So for those that don't know,
so here we go.
What is the quote unquote publisher? What do you do? What's your quote unquote a day day of what? And what is Galaxy Press that people?
Okay, know? Good. So first of all, you said an author is a person that actually writes the book. Then the author has an editor who's someone who goes through and makes sure that, you know, it's you got different levels of an editor, but they go through and make sure that it makes sense what you're saying, that you don't contradict yourself, and that you keep the story flowing right. So sometimes when I'm talking now in present during this, but if I'm talking like this and then all of a sudden same mid sentence, I go, I'm talking to Tyrone. I'm talking to Tyrone right now. When I was 16, I then went to a trip in the White Mountains. You go, wait a minute, what? That doesn't make sense. So an editor goes through and makes sure that the sentences all flow and it makes sense, and the paragraphs flow one to the next. And it's important, even when you go to make a script for a movie, you got to have those words there. So that's the author, the editor, that makes sure that it actually is sequitur and makes sense. A publisher is someone that actually goes through all the various steps of getting that book, make sure it's properly edited, and then you've got to work out how you're going to release it. You know, you've got your, you know, once you've acquired the book and you've got it, you know, you've made your agreement with the author and they get their payment and the terms of payment, then you have to work out how you're going to release it. And so you have to have, usually it's like a, ideally you've got a year runway to start building up the press on that stuff, start getting people to know about it. It's changed a lot in these years as social media and as online goes, and as the self-publishing has become a major, major activity within the publishing world.
Yeah.
So building up your own social presence is really important. Sure. So a publisher makes sure all those things are in place so that when you do release the book, and whether it's going to be in bookstores or just on Amazon or in specialty stores, then that actually happens. Then you have your book signings and events and activities, and that's what a publisher will do to make sure the books actually sell.
So in maybe in the similarities, would the publisher be similar to what a distribution company would be in the movie world? Like they're the ones getting it out there into the book world? And
absolutely. They do that, as well as making sure the movie has been properly made and making sure that it's proper quality of whatever's going out to the theaters to be played. Yeah, so that whole thing there.
So
because you've got also different on a publisher. You got your print book like what I gave you there. That's a 6 inches by 9 inches.
Yeah,
and
beautiful art.
Yeah, it's gorgeous art, and that's called a trade paperback. So that's basically the same size as a hardcover book, except it's got a paperback cover. Then you've got mass market books, which were originally called pocketbooks. And those are the ones, pocketbooks, because they fit in the back of your pocket or something like that. And those are like a 4x6, 3.5x6 format. And then you've got your hardcover books. But now you've got ebooks.
Yep.
And you've got audiobooks. Those are all different formats that books are published in these days.
Now, for your expertise, are you the one that decides, okay, this is going to be a paperback, this is going to be a hardcover, is this going to be, like, is that the publisher's position?
It's the publisher's position. But this is a series. This is volume 35. This is a contest that's been going for 35 years now. So we have a standard format that the book is published in, and so it's the ebook and as well as the trade paperback format that we have now. Because in the front of the book, we have the 12 winning artists. All their art that they created for this book is featured in there. So you see these beautiful 12-color plates of the art there, and then you got the stories following that.
Well, and what is the average? Okay. So let's just say, well, first off, what inspired you to get, obviously you said by default, but what inspired you to actually, you know, hey, let's give this a try? You know, is it because you love books so much? Or?
That helps a whole lot.
But was there anyone that inspired you to get into the line of field?
Not particularly. I like books a lot. And so it became very easy for me to do. And because I did so many of the different functions within a publishing company, It wasn't difficult to transition to becoming the publisher. And as the president, 95% of my work is involved in public relations.
Wow, yeah. Well, that's kind of how we met. I mean, yeah. And it's interesting because somehow you crossed over into the entertainment side.
Mm-hmm. Well, that comes from being in Hollywood.
Yeah, and how did that come about? Because, I mean, we kind of met, I would say, I want to say through think, the Hollywood Christmas Parade or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, the Hollywood Christmas Parade, because Dave McKenzie, who owns the parade, then we're great friends, and so we're the green room, and then we met from there, and yeah, so our relationship has grown from that, from because as the green room for the Hollywood Christmas Parade, we welcome the 200 celebrities into our offices for that parade.
That's awesome. No, and so okay, so how many books as a president of a publishing company? How many books do you read, let's say, a month or a year? Like, what's an average?
I will read probably about 10 books a month.
Wow.
But some of them are short, some of them are long. Because I publish so many authors with this Writers of the Future program, I get sent books, and so I feel obliged to read their, because we do this contest to launch new authors. And so when they get themselves published, they send me the book, hey, look at this. And I'm definitely going to read their book. And
so, what is the feel, or what is like the like? I think like, if I'm looking in movie sense, every distributor has a certain type of books. Like some are in the books, movies. Sometimes one will specialize in horror, one will specialize in drama, sci-fi, comedy. For Galaxy Press, I think you mentioned it, but just for those that are clear,
sure.
What kind of books do you like publishing?
Okay, so Galaxy Press is specifically set up to publish the fiction works of L. Ron Hubbard. So that's the author that people are very familiar with him as, the founder of Scientology. But before he created Scientology in 1954, he was one of America's most popular authors. Mm. He published using his own and 15 different pen names. He was he wrote about 100,000 words a month and published well over 200 the science fiction, fantasy, mystery, adventure, Western, romance stories. That's why he had to have 15 pen names, because sometimes in the pulp magazines of the 1930s and 40s, he had trouble finding enough magazines to write for, so he used different names. So sometimes the magazines would have three of his stories in it using different names.
Wow.
So he was very, very popular as a writer then, so that's what I publish. And what makes it so good, and it's why I'm really happy to be on your program, is because his books are PG.
Yeah.
And so when we released them, we did this whole thing, which you covered our 10th anniversary event last October. When we launched it, we had an amazing acceptance throughout the Middle East, because in Islamic countries, they can't have the sex or profanity, so our stories don't have that. We work really well with within the Christian community because of that same, for that correct, same reason. In China, we've got a lot of acceptance there because, again, the stories are open to and appropriate for ages of all groups, of all ages. And the you've got Lexile. These are various organizations that exist to rate books, who's it appropriate for. So they're age appropriate for middle school on up, which is really, really good.
Wow. Now, considering you read so many books, have you ever written a book?
I have contributed to books. There was a book that came out when Anne McCaffrey, who's a very famous science fiction and fantasy writer, when she passed, we were good friends, and so I was asked to contribute a chapter to a book about her as a famous writer, which I did. Mostly, I'm known for writing press releases and articles that promote books, promote other authors, and that's my writing prowess.
Okay, but is it just because you can't have the time to read a book, write a book, or is there just it's just not in you to sit there and write?
No, I have there's some great stories I have, but just my schedule is such that there's so much to do, and especially today in book publishing, to keep ahead of the curve, and I have to do I'm constantly self-training with YouTube tutorials and stuff like that on how do you use social media, how do you do Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and then as these change, how do you do it to keep up on that, to build up a following?
Yeah, well, awesome. Well, what we're going to do, we're going to cut to a break, we're going to cut to music, and we're going to talk about more of your new books and your new lines and of things, and as well as the award stuff that's been going on and all that kind of stuff. But really quickly, speaking of social media, before we go off, do you have any, before we go to a break, any social media or anything that people could check you out on?
Sure. Well, I've got my own personal Facebook page is John Goodwin, and that's actually John Goodwin ASI for Author Services, Inc., which is the building that you saw me at. But John Goodwin, and otherwise, we'll be talking about, as Galaxy Press, I've got Galaxy Press on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and then Writers of the Future. I've got pages on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Keep there, okay, too.
Cool. Well, we're going to be back more with the president of Galaxy Press, John Goodwin. We're just going to cut to a song really quick, and then we'll be right back more to talk more about a lot of the books that Galaxy Press is publishing. But so we're going to go, we'll cut to, actually, I'm going to play, we're going to play a song by Becca Broken. This was actually a guest of ours, and we'll be back more with John Goodwin. We'll be right back here on Indie100.com Radio. We'll be right back.
All genres, all indie. Listen carefully. The song you are about to hear is an actual independent music submission. Indie 100.
That was Broken by Becca. So if you like her, let me know. If you like that song, email me at tyrone.indie100@gmail.com. That's tyrone.indie100@gmail.com. Again, the song is Broken by Becca. Again, she was a guest on our show here, but we also want to help promote her. And I know she's got a lot of cool stuff out. So check her out on social media. Again, her name is Becca, B as in boy, E-K-A-H. Again, Becca. Again, and that song was Broken. Let me know. Tyrone.ne100@gmail.com. So we are back here into the studio with my dear friend, President of Galaxy Press, Mr. John Goodwin. Welcome back.
Thank you very much, Tyrone.
All right. So we left off talking about this, you know, kind of what got you into the publishing world and the differences between what a publisher does, an author does, and all that kind of good stuff. Now let's get down into kind of like the nitty gritty. So how long, so on a day-to-day, like, you know, I know you mentioned before, you could read probably about 10 books a month. And then now for you, what is kind of like a day-to-day kind of thing? And what do you guys, like, you get a book, you read it, and then what's the whole process of this whole thing? It's kind of fascinating.
Well, what I do on my day-to-day, the reading the books is my entertainment, and I also use that to help promote the authors as well, because like we talked about all the social media activities. And what I do is I start, a lot of my day is involved with setting up events, promoting the events, executing the events, doing like we're doing right now, this radio show. I'm, like I said, over the next 2 weeks now, we had a major event, which we'll talk about in a little bit, this past weekend. But now we're going to have all the different book signings for the 12 authors that we set up and the 12 illustrators that we just announced. And so we're going to have these, I set up Facebook events for all these things, and then we're doing promotions to, you know, the specialized promotions to each of those areas around those bookstores. And then just a few days from now, I'll be driving via some places like Las Vegas to do some more media in Las Vegas and probably a bookstore signing there, and then head up in Salt Lake City where there's a huge convention in Salt Lake City called FanX.
Wow.
And that's where there'll be about 85,000 people there.
Wow.
And we're very much involved. We have there's a panel I'm giving on Writers of the Future. And so I do that kind of stuff to really promote and build the contest and to build awareness and recognition of the books that we publish.
Well, let's talk about this contest, because it's just something that just happened. So tell the audience a little bit what fascinating things that you're doing and like such as this contest and what the contest name and
sure,
all that.
Sure, absolutely. It's called L. Ron Hubbard Presents Writers of the Future. Now, it's a contest that was created originally in 1983, and it's been going on. We just are now releasing volume 35, so the 35th year. And over the course of the 35 years, we've newly launched over 800 different writers and artists. Some of the biggest names in science fiction and fantasy got their start or are involved with the contest. So you've got authors that, like the Dune series, you know, the Dune book.
Yeah.
So the original author of that was one of the judges when he was still alive. Now his son has taken over for him.
Oh, wow.
And he and Kevin Anderson, who's another person who's been involved with the contest for many years, writes all the Dune prequels and works with, they just announced a new Dune movie that is being produced in the big screen. We have one of our illustrator winners, Sean Tan, won an Oscar about 4 years ago for the short animated film called Lost Thing. And so we've had all of our winners go on, and they help promote the contest. So the main thing that Writers of the Future is a launching pad for aspiring writers and aspiring artists. What makes it unique is that it's free to enter.
Wow.
And it's open to anyone. The judging is blind. So what happens, we get the entries, and we get entries from over 175 countries.
Wow.
And so the entries come in. The contest administrator takes off the name and just assigns a number. So what goes to the judges is either the art, the three pieces of art, or the story, and that's all they see. So we have no idea who's going to win until they select what the winning stories or art is, and it comes back to us. And it's broken. The year's broken into four quarters. So every quarter, three winners are chosen. And like I said, this year we had four Chinese winners. We had four from the UK, one Lithuania, one from Canada, and then from local with the United States. So we never know where they're coming from until, like I said, everybody comes back and the judges have decided. So what makes it really cool and why I'm very excited to be talking to you about this is I know there's a lot of aspiring writers out there. And because it's free to enter, the idea of porn-starving artists and writers is not pretentious. It's like it's a real thing. So the fact that they can enter a contest and submit their best stories or their art and it doesn't cost them anything, they maintain their rights to the story, they maintain their rights to their art, and the winners are flown out to Hollywood for a week-long workshop with these top artists and top writers, and they're publishing this book with a huge gala. Yeah. This year it was at the Taglian Complex.
Yeah.
And it's being made into a TV special, and it's a means of someone who really wants to be able to get their break in writing. Yeah. And it's science fiction and fantasy. Mm-hmm. So science fiction, fantasy, alternate history, light horror. It is, the stories have to be age appropriate for middle school and up. So it is a PG book. So people know that in advance, but there's thousands of entries that come in, but because of the success rate, anybody that wins in contests or anybody that's even a finalist in a contest now are automatically read by editors. It's taken out of the slush piles so that if you can say that you're a finalist or a winner of Writers of the Future, the editors will automatically read your story and it puts you ahead of the stack. So it was created, like I said, in 1983 by L. Ron Hubbard right after he wrote the book Battlefield Earth. And it kept took advantage of the fact that he had gone now back into writing science fiction after he had left it for a while from the 30s and 40s. So he used his name along with, like I said, Frank Herbert. I said the guy that wrote Dune, and several other major names of the time that now continues to move forward with major authors who are the judges for the contest, and they're the ones that decide who are the winners. So anybody who's listening to this, if you're an aspiring writer, you can go to writersofthefuture.com and enter your story. It's the limit is 17,000 words. It defines on the website exactly how you qualify. But like I said, you maintain all your rights to it. And all the winners get cash prizes, plus you get your royalty, advance royalty. And the writer winner, the number one person that the judges finally decide on, for the writing contest and the illustrating contest, also get a check for $5,000.
Wow. Okay, so the book that you handed me earlier, mm-hmm. what is this one? This is the one?
That's the one we just released. It's called L. Ron Hubbard Presents Writers of the Future, Volume 35. And it contains the winning stories from the top 12 writers. Plus, it's also got a story.
This year?
The one that just
happened.
It just happened, right.
Oh, wow.
And it's got the art, too. So the way that works on the illustrators is that illustrators will send in three pieces of art, and then the top 12 throughout the year will get chosen. Then those illustrators are sent each one of the 12 winning stories, and they have to illustrate that. And that's what gets published in this book. The cover art is called The Lost Robot, and is painted by a very famous artist who's also a founding judge of the illustrator contest. His name is Bob Eggleton. He's won, I think, 9 Hugo Awards and 12 Chesley Awards and multiple other awards too. He's very much, he's consulted by Japan anytime that they're doing a Godzilla movie. Wow. He's the one that gets consulted. He's done theme parks in Las Vegas. Anyway, so he created this, and one of our earlier winners named Dean Wesley Smith wrote a story based on the cover art, which is also published in there. So we published them, and then these writers and these artists are basically announced to the world as the best new voices in science fiction and fantasy. In the last 4 years, this book has been on the national bestseller list. Wow. It outsells all the other anthologies. So even when you have major names in science fiction and fantasy, this outsells them as an anthology because of the quality of the writing.
Yeah. What do you think is the youngest author you had that's won this thing, and maybe what's the oldest, let's just say?
Okay, well, we had our youngest illustrator this year. She was 15 when she won the contest. Wow. She's a sophomore in high school right now. Writer-wise, I think the youngest has been 19 or 20, because you have to have a bit of a mastery of the English language in order to be able to submit a story. Our oldest winner, I think, is about 65.
Wow.
In terms of entrants, our youngest entrant has been 12, and the oldest entrant, I think, was 102.
Wow.
It's literally open to anybody, and people who have lived their life and done their career, and they want to go back and being a writer again, totally fine, because with this contest, it literally is open to anyone who isn't previously professionally published, as defined in the rules, which you can find on writersoffuture.com.
That's awesome. So again, Wow, and it's great to know the backstory of this because I know I've covered your events in the past.
That's right.
But I didn't really know the backstory to it. I mean, it's kind of fascinating to know that, A, it's free. So everyone out there, it's a free
contest. That's right.
And then let's go play by play again. So they go to www.writersofthefuture.com. Writersofthefuture.com. You enter, and it's got the rules, of
course. The rules in there, and there's also there's a page that you can go to. You can click on it. You can upload your story, or you can upload your art, and you have to create a page for it so that we can the computer can track you, and a number can be assigned to your story that gets sent to the judges. And then the judges will go through, and they will, after, when the time periods are. So the contest runs quarterly. So it begins October 1st, and it goes to December 31st, and then January through March, April through June, July through September.
So there's a new one coming up right now, April.
That's right. Okay. That's right. So it just started. And like I said, we have entries from over 175 countries. It is the most popular writing contest for science fiction and fantasy, and it's got the best track record of providing an introduction of writers and artists into the industry.
And about how many do you think approximately submissions do you get throughout each quarter, or I don't know?
excuse me. We get a lot, and I don't want to say something that's going to make somebody feel like I'll never be able to make it, you know, but it is a lot. But what we have now, because there are so many, is that, you know, there are thousands of entries that we get. But because there's so many, we only have the three winners. But we'll have, right now in the writing contests, upwards sometimes of 200 finalists that will get a certificate. And people will put that in their resumes now, and it gets accepted as a legitimate cred when you put that you're as a finalist in Writers of the Future or a finalist in the Illustrators of the Future.
So there's winners every quarter, but then at the end of the year, or the end of like you just had these celebrations the other day.
Right. So the year ended, like I said, it's the end of September. It takes us now 3 months to finish, because when all the stories get submitted, all the art gets submitted by the end of September, it takes 3 months for all the judges to read everything that's been submitted and decide who the winners are. So that's usually by the end of December, we know who the winners are for that last quarter. And then we've got to edit the book, put it together. We got to send the stories to the artists for them to draw the illustrations, and then get it printed and have it ready for release right now. So it's we're going pretty flat tack to get the book ready for release, which is now just happening.
So the book that I'm holding right now is the ones of all the winners just from the other day.
That's right.
So now, do the winners know, like, do they get handed this book that day if they went? So they've never seen their name in print, or so to speak?
Oh, it's like a total trip for them when they see the book for the first time, which is done at a point during the workshop. There's two big highlights. One is something we call the big reveal. And this is, like, way cool. This is where we line up all 12 pieces of art on easels in the library at our offices at Author Services. And the illustrators are standing off to the side. Then we open the door, and the writers walk in, and they have to go and find their artwork. And when they go there, then the illustrator goes and introduces themselves to the author. What makes it really special is the illustrators are totally worried that the author is going to like their art, and the author is totally worried that the illustrator thought it was just a total piece, you know. And so when they get together, you start seeing, you know, the authors are totally like, they're crying because, like I said, we talked about earlier, like the authors think in words and the illustrators think in pictures. And so when a person that thinks in words connects up with someone who thinks in pictures and see how they duplicate their story, and it's brilliant what they do, they're just like, my God, I got to read my story. I didn't see it like that. That's what they say, but they're saying it in words, and the illustrator's saying it in images. So it's a real touching moment when they get together. And then the next day, they actually see the books, and they do the initial signing, which we'll do so everybody gets their copies of the book. And so that's when they're opening up and seeing the book for the first time, and they're just absolutely out of their head.
Wow, very, very inspiring to hear. My gosh, we got like 1 minute left. Time went by quick.
I figured.
So, wow.
The book's available in bookstores right now. They need to go and get it. It's at Barnes & Noble. It's at Books A Million. It's on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. It's up in Canada if you go to any of the bookstores up there. And it's also on Amazon.com in every country around the world.
So, again, it's called One More Time, the title, and how can they check this out?
Okay. L. Ron Hubbard presents Writers of the Future, Volume 35. It's available right now. The book is... $15.95. If you get it,
it's beautiful artwork.
Awesome artwork on stuff, and it really does help support these writers. And one thing the judges invariably will say is, get the book, read the stories. If you're an aspiring writer artist, because that's the benchmark which you have to be in order to consider yourself professional.
Cool. So one more time, the website:
www.writersofthefuture.com.
Awesome. And any other social media?
Yeah, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It's for Rise of Future is WOTF contest.
Okay. Great. And time ran out really quickly, John. But the show is ultimately about inspiring others. You've been inspired. We want to inspire those. What inspirational messages can you give to someone out there that maybe wants to do what you do or just follow their dreams in general?
What I'd say is if you have a goal to be an artist or a writer, just don't give up. Don't listen to the naysayers. Just keep on persisting. And if anything else, go to writersoffuture.com because you'll find like-minded souls that are totally willing to support you and to tell you to keep on persisting.
Well, I want to say thank you for coming. I like you said, time creeped up on us, but it's finally get you in here, and hopefully you'll be back again, and we'll talk about some more stuff. Again, but I want to say God bless you. Best of luck with everything that you do. Again, check out, John Goodwin. Check him out. You have social media as well?
John Goodwin, ASI.
So that's JohnGoodwin.
ASI.
And again, he's the president of Galaxy Press. So check that out as well. Again, so it's the book is L. Ron Hubbard Presents Writers of the Future, Volume 35. Check that out. And again, last but not least, I just want to say thank you guys all. Again, John, good seeing you. And have safe journey and trip on your book tour and all
thank
that
you.
Kind of
thank
great
you
stuff.
Very much,
and thank you guys all out there. Again, God bless you guys all. Again, I want to always want to leave off my show. Matthew 19:26. In man, things are possible. In God, all things are possible. And we are out. Bye-bye.